HSBC buys Silicon Valley Bank's UK arm for £1. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. The tech world is reeling from the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. The bank was shut down by US regulators on Friday after customers raced to withdraw $42 billion in one day. In the US, customers have been told their deposits are protected. In the UK, where the bank's subsidiary works for about 40% of startups here, there's been a different approach. It's been bought by HSBC for £1. Here's Finance Minister Jeremy Hunt explaining the deal.
What that means is that all those really important companies that had deposits with Silicon Valley Bank UK can access their deposits, can access normal banking services as of this morning. It's a very important outcome. No taxpayers' money has been used.
One of those companies is Lingumi, an app that helps kids learn to speak and read languages. Toby Maher is the chief executive.
Very anxious weekend, yeah, and huge wave of relief this morning as the news broke. So we were very exposed. 85% of our capital was tied up in SVB UK. We were in the lucky minority who had enough money in our bank accounts outside the UK and enough revenue that we could look our staff in the eyes at 9 o'clock this morning and say we can make payroll in 2 weeks. But it would have been very uncertain from then.
And I asked banking analyst Francis Coppola about the significance of that HSBC deal.
Actually, for the UK bank, it is a good outcome. It is a separate subsidiary. It had its own balance sheet and everything. So it was actually possible to separate it out from the rest of the business and sell it as a business in its own right. And we don't know too much about it. The last accounts it filed date back to 2021. But it hasn't been a subsidiary for very long. So that suggests that although the PRA decided it was insolvent and had to be resolved, it wasn't in that bad a shape. And therefore, it did seem likely there would be a buyer. There were quite a lot of bids for it, actually. But in the end, HSBC won the bidding. They're getting it for £1. But that isn't quite how it seems, because they're also taking on responsibility for all the bank's liabilities, whatever they are.
I mean, this is the biggest US bank failure since 2008. Do you think this particular failure poses a systemic risk to the wider banking system?
I think it does, but not because of the size of the bank. I think it's because of the sort of bank that it is. It's one of a large number of regional community banks. This particular one has grown rather large, rather quickly, because it set itself up as a tech bank and was attracting deposits from tech startups and VC funding. But America has these regional community banks that are lightly regulated. A lot of the regulations that were put in place after the great financial crisis in 2008 don't apply to them. And lots of them have developed this kind of balance sheet structure whereby they're not recording in their regulatory capital losses because bonds have fallen in value, and those banks are at risk if there's a run.
Francis Coppola, independent financial commentator, thank you for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
And we'll have more on this in our later Marketplace programmes. Now, let's do the numbers. Despite all the voices trying to reassure global economies about contagion risks, markets are in the red across the board. European stocks are all down by more than 1%, and First Republic Bank shares are falling like a stone, down 60% in pre-market trading. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once cleaned up at the Oscars last night. But Hollywood isn't the only major centre for the film trade. Nigeria's film industry, known as Nollywood, is the second largest in the world and now produces more films than Hollywood, around 2,500 a year. The BBC's Peter McJobb has been speaking to some of the filmmakers and actors leading the charge, including 30-year veteran Kate Henshaw.
It's growing in leaps and bounds, and it's attracting attention from all over the world. The movies are different. We're on different platforms. Before, it was just you would buy an Hollywood movie in the market and go and watch it in your house. Now we're in cinemas. We're on pay-per-view platforms.
Someone has argued that perhaps these big streaming giants, that they're possibly not investing as much as they ought to in this industry.
Nigeria is not the only country. Another issue we have is our subscriber base on Netflix itself. being the kind of people that we are, purchasing power is quite low, so to speak, for those who really want to consume Nollywood movies. One thing I know about our stories is they're unique to us, and Nigerians in diaspora, and of course other countries and other nationalities, have a huge appetite to consume Nollywood movies. We just need to get our act together, make sure that the ingredients for the movies that we need to put out there on this global stage, because now we're not playing small anymore. We have a Nigerian Oscar committee. So indeed, the global stage is looking inwards into Nigerian content.
Moses Babatope is the co-founder of the Filmhouse Group, a distributing company which helps filmmakers commercialize their content.
It's a great time to not just be in the film industry, but in any creative endeavor as far as Nigeria is concerned.
Why is that?
A number of things, not least technology being accessible and giving us things like social media, where we're able to express ourselves. I always tell people that the average Nigerian is dramatic. The average Nigerian is full of life. We have a culture, if you go across different parts of Nigeria, a culture of performance, whether it's on stage, whether it's in the church. We have that culture. And I think technology has kind of helped us amplify what we have, and it's been celebrated. We are also finding out that our indigenous language content is also desirable, as well as the kind of quality that global audiences are used to.
That was the BBC's Peter McJobb with that Nollywood report. And thanks for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. James Graham was producing today. Our editor is Joe Critcher. And if you want to get in touch, email us at marketplace@bbc.co.uk. I'm Leanna Byrne, and make sure to tune in tomorrow.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.